discussing the basic principle, really the whole prerequisite of this leader, one of the Raisa, is the requirement of Aragosha. The only time the woman becomes male because of the Surah in the Torah, if she experiences not just true Yasdan, not just bleeding, but the bleeding has to be accompanied with some kind of physical sensation. What was unclear is what the sensation is, and what was equally unclear is where that sensation is. We saw last week that the two sensations, the two Aragoshas that appear that we showed him, the Rambam's description of Mizdazeh called Gufa, the woman's body, almost like a trembling kind of a movement. Which was the question whether that corresponds to cramping and things of that nature. That was one mahalach of Argosha. The second mahalach of Argosha was the Tumas Adesh, and it was like the Niftach Piyamoka, that she feels some kind of an opening as the blood is exiting. And then we have the third Argosha, which doesn't appear to be shown him, was the question of Argosha Zivas Davalach. She feels neither a trembling nor opening, but she feels a flow, she feels a little bit of moisture in that area, Zivas Davalach. We had a machlekes in the poskim as to why that zivas olach doesn't appear in the Gemara. So some of the poskim said it doesn't appear because it's not true. Another poskim said it doesn't appear because it's so obvious. And he said, of course, that's the elah hagashim dolam mizof. So really, machlekes nakatz nakatz. Then we had a further question, assuming that there is such a thing called the hagashim zivas olach, where exactly is this hagashim taking place? So we saw some posts can put it in a very, very early part in, almost inside the body. And others said, no, even if it's a little bit further out, it would also constitute a Hagrasha Zivas Davalach. So a lot of different possibilities. How much do we have to machti or understand Hagrasha? This could potentially change of Chasnida, because as we're going to see, there are shilas that come up in Chasnida, and if you take the approach that we're only dealing with the Rabbanan, even the Pasuk and the Shilas are totally different. If you're dealing with the Daraisa, it's a different ballgame. But do we have to be concerned with the Sagosha Zivas Davalach or not? So although we saw some Gedolia Poskim, the Yehuda, the Nas, the Poskim, well, different permutations of it, but many Gedolia Poskim did accept it. On the other hand, there are others who deny the whole thing. They said that Mohammed Vamayam, the whole Zivas Davalach, doesn't really exist in Halakha. So one of the biggest opponents of this whole idea of Zivas Davalach was the Chassam Sofer. So if you take a look at the bottom of the Mam Kermis, the sixth of the Mam Kermis, comes to Zam Sofer at the very bottom of the first page. He named out Indian Hagosha. So, Nagon Baal Mamshach, Nagon Shek Yaakov Ichrichu, Tel Korcha Hagoshas Pihamokor, Oizdazea Kolaguf, Mikoach Hazolas Adam. So, the only Hagoshas that we know that really exist are the first two. The Isal Gedaitach Zivas Davalach, if you're going to tell me that the third Hagosha exists, in Cain, Reish Begorah Kesem, there's a sugya, we're going to keep on coming back to the sugya, the beginning of the paragraph Kesem, the end of Masechas Nida. Parach Ad Shmuel, the Gemara asks a question against Shmuel. Shmuel was the one who taught us that there's a din of Hagosha. The Gemara jumps and says, Me'a Isha, she also tzrachea, complicated shachmatah in the Gemara, about a woman who's going to the bathroom. The Gemara's trying to figure out when she's urinating, is she having Hagosha, not having Hagosha. So the Gemara pilpels, Me'koma, either Agosha, below Agosha, the kosher. Yes, the Chassam Sofer, just basic biology. It says, now tell us, Merlayim, Milo Argisha Zivas Davalach. It says, by definition, she's going to the bathroom. Obviously, she is feeling some kind of a Zivas Davalach. By definition, in the bathroom, you're feeling some kind of a Zivas Davalach. Ubituha Lahavchen Klau, Bilachos Adam, Lalachos Merlayim. He says, how in the world can you ask the woman to Shiloh? She went to the bathroom. When you ask her, well, did you have a Zivas Davalach? She says, no, I went to the bathroom. Of course I have a Zivas Davalach. So from the fact that the Gemara is pilpuling that one can potentially be mafkin between yes, Hagosha, no Hagosha, even in the act of urinating, obviously we're talking a different language. Obviously the Hagosha, the Chazal we're referring to, is something totally different. So therefore, comes Chassam Sofer, it says, you skip down to the last line, to the bottom line, well, the fear is night is a raish ain't a let tshuva. He says he thinks this is such a compelling raya that nobody could possibly refute this raya. Nobody. Obviously, the Chavos Das and the Yehuda and the others thought that they could refute the raya. So again, Helig Chassam Sofer, still a machlokes. Bottom, when all the dust settles, we have two things we have to determine. How do we paskin? Do we paskin that Zivas Davalach is our Hagosha? And then if we do, well, where is that Zivas Davalach? Do we pass it to Hagosha only if it's all the way internally when the blood exits the uterus? Or do we say even if it's more external? So So again, not a great surprise that the later post he was still finding this out, still arguing this out. But Avadi Yosef in his Sefer, encyclopedic Sefer, Sefer Taras Abayas, where he quotes everyone you ever heard of, never heard of, never will hear of, anyway, anything to say about the topic. So he goes through the hundreds and hundreds of shadows and tshuvas, Ashkenazim, it's right across the board, and he says it's the fearless daito, it's nearer that we paskin, and we bring bigger, and it's not Hargosha. He thinks that the Rova post of all, that the secret of Allah is not really Hargosha, and therefore we can approach the Chuznida Shailas, even if the woman says she felt a little bit of something, flowing a little bit, Alpha Pichain, we could still be making, we could still have better days. Mutter just means that we look into the eyes of a Derabah. That's the Chura, the Goyen, the Paisik of Rabban Yosef. Nevertheless, to be honest, at the other side of the Atlantic, so there were different Polskim who may have disagreed with this. So Rav Moshe was not as quick to totally dismiss Zikras de Valach, depending on who you ask what Rav Moshe said. And here it starts to get a little bit tricky. I'll try to reconstruct the story with you. Rav Shimon Eider wrote one of the classic Svarim Ruch Hasidah years ago. It's unfortunate. I think a lot of people, a lot of the younger people in that generation, they don't even realize the tremendous role that Rav Shimon Eider had in terms of Psach Halacha, particularly the Kitzur Svarim. I didn't teach Kitzur in those Svarim. He was one of the first ones, one of the first English Svarim, I think the first English Sefer, that came out on Ruch Shabbos, and then the Halacha sort of 3 weeks. I don't think there's any camp in America that didn't have unstuck that. Same halachas arbaminim. I remember people used to walk around buying an esrog, holding on to them. He got all these kufrs. It was a soft covered, little soft covered booklets, and the only one that was hot was the two blue Hilchos Shabbos Svarim in type. You know, not four computers on the type. I was old style typewriters with footnotes and cutting this with translations. He had a tremendous impact. People not even aware of it on the development of Psach Halacha, particularly in America in the 1960s, 70s, that time. So Shimon Eider, in the back of his Sefer, his Nida, quotes a discussion that he had with Rav Moshe, where in that discussion, and it appears that Rav Moshe was machmer, that he was choshesh for Zivas Dovalach, and he was so choshesh for Zivas Dovalach that he seemed to be choshesh even for the chumradik version of Zivas Dovalach. That means even if it's out of its mom, she feels it on her legs, that's really a 2 point of Rav Moshe. But Rav Moshe was concerned that if a woman comes and says, well, I felt some moisture, and the Rav says, well, where'd you find the moisture? She says, well, it was almost in the vaginal area. Rav Moshe wasn't so quick to dismiss that. Rav Moshe almost looked at the chumradik version of the chumra of Zivas Devalach. That's the way it appears in the back of the Sefer Shimon Eider. So I'll jump ahead about, I don't know, 30 years or so. So when these Mar Mekomos were first put together, and then you have the document myself, well, I can tell you they're at least 11 years old, because it says they're Rav Kalabas Ashur in Paramus, New Jersey, so I haven't been that title in a long time. At least 11 years old, they were accompanied by the CDs. So the CDs with the plastic wrap.
I think it's like 15
years ago. So I leave out the name of the person, Rav Chashman Rock, was listening to the CDs in Chasnita, and I quoted this from Rav Moshe, I quoted right out of Rav Shimon Eider. So this Rav said to me that, I don't know what it says in Rav Shimon Eider, he says, but he's telling me Eidus, Ishin Emon, that he spoke to Rav Moshe on occasion about this topic, and he did not get the impression that Rav Moshe was so machmer on this. He got the impression that Rav Moshe was much more in sync with the view. Well, as he was the Valach, I'm not so sure it even exists anyway, it even exists, well, we may not even have it, and maybe it's too far in, too far out. So that, you know, all that chumadic version where Rav Moshe finally held, that it's presented in the Sefer, so again, I have a Valpeh, I can't document it for you, I have a Valpeh from someone who said they spoke to Rav Moshe personally about this, and they did not at all get that impression that was the way Rav Moshe was being Chashish. So, you want me to be Machria? Rav Moshe is in the other members, Rav Shabbat is in the other members. This Rav is still here, but again, I can't tell you with absolute certainty what Rav Moshe's bottom line view on this matter was. I can tell you that we tend to be making the Shaila. I mean, many Rabbanim tend to be making the Shaila, that just because you hear the word, you know, Zivas Devalach, when I hear that from the woman, they usually don't formulate those terms, but they start to describe that, so I try to push them a little bit there. Well, where exactly did you feel it? Did you feel it really internally?
Not really. Okay. As long as it wasn't so-so internally, so that even the machmir would probably end up being megil. So we're not 100% sure what megil is even of a lot, but the way it presents itself today is usually going to be a little bit too far out, but we're going to have to be so concerned with it.
I think Ramosha has a two where he says in English, Sfarmish Paskin Lahachmir.
That's the answer. Again, even sometimes when the svar, sometimes there are nuances to losing in the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
The footnotes tend to be more making. So I'm interested in that. The footnotes tend to be a little more making than the top. And there's a reason for it. The top is written for the Hamonah. Sometimes you have to be a little bit more machmer when you're talking to the Hamonah because people get confused in this. You have to sometimes, you know, cover your bases. Those who bought are looking at all the footnotes on the long list in the bottom. So if you're looking for coolers, so it's a good place to look if you find them in the footnotes. Okay. Anyway. Getting back to this point. So where does all this play? How does all this play out for us? So when we come to the Shaila today, and we try to ascertain whether she had a gosh or not. Now again, sometimes it's not relevant. Sometimes whether it's the Raisa, the Rabban, doesn't make much of a difference, but sometimes it is extremely relevant. It can make all the difference in the world whether she's Mutaris for the next 2 weeks or not. So we really want to know, are we dealing with our gosh? So how are we going to exactly phrase that question? How is she going to give us that information? So what are goshes are we asking for? So we want to know, was there, and is that there gufa? Unless you take Rabbi Sheik's version of clams, you know, you're probably not going to get the answer to that answer, to that question. Then we're going to ask the Niftach Piham Mokor. She doesn't know what you're talking about. Ziva's Dovalach. Again, depending on where you put Ziva's Dovalach, even if you accept it, it's quite possible she's not going to say that she really had a halach in Ziva's Dovalach. But now we run into a very, very serious dilemma in Chas Nida. One of the most difficult things to put our fingers on in Chas Nida. It's not something that developed in the last 20 years. Many of the posts have been discussing this for years. If you push a woman and ask her, well, did you have a Hagosha? So she may respond with something like this, Rabbi, I've never had a Hagosha. The Hagoshas that you're describing, I don't have any of them. And for that matter, many women don't have any of these quote-unquote official halachic Hagoshas. Which leads us to a question, well, wait a second. If the woman's never getting these halachic, whatever these halachic Hagoshas are, so how did she ever become a Nida ever? So now again, this is, I'm not saying this as any degree of cool over here. I'm just posing a question. How is a woman ever become a Nida? If you're going to tell me that you need a Gosha, and you tell me that some of these Goshas are not happening in the year Tashin Ayvav, so how in the world does a woman, when she gets a period, how can we declare that she's a Nida Deraisa? Everything is Derabon. The whole, all of the Zip is all Derabon. There's no Kares, there's no, everything is Derabon. So, highly unlikely that that's the correct answer to the question. So, what happened exactly? How come on the one hand we talk about the intricate necessities of our Gosha, and then faced with the reality that the women are not quite sure what we're describing? So don't worry, we're not the first ones to realize this. Radio Yoach HaShulchan 150 years ago already realized this. Other Poskim, everyone realized the same dilemma. So what exactly happened? Let's answer this question.
Why is it an unacceptable assumption to say it's Jeroboam?
It just doesn't sound right. Nobody real says that. I mean, people have like thrown out that as like, how, people have formed the question, why is it not that way? All of us need to be emotional to the point, all of us need to be emotional to the point, nothing's there ice anymore. Very, very unlikely.
Do we at all use this as a kula ever?
No. So the question becomes, so what exactly happens? So there seem to be two different approaches in the Gedolei HaPoskim as to what the answer to this otherwise dilemma of Chasnida is. So Rav Reni the Yerach HaShulchan picks up on, which really has its roots ready in the Gemara. The Yerach HaShulchan, quoting really from a Gemara, the Gemara says, you know, a woman is getting, there's a lot of blood. She's getting a period, she's a significant amount of blood. You're going to tell me that nowhere along the way there was something, a mashal, was it because of the lach, a summer, she's not paying attention to it. Dilma quotes a phrase in the Gemara, says, Nida, argisha v'lava taita. There was a hargosha there, but the hargosha wasn't discerned. Why wasn't it discerned? So you can start to philosophize why. There are some folks can say, it could be, believe it or not, we know. The reality is, our women today are significantly busier, significantly more occupied, significantly more multitasking than they were the days of old. I mean, they knew what did the women do 150 years ago? I don't know, she got up, milked the cows, I don't know what she did. I mean, please, now get caught, somebody's going to say, I said something negative about women. I said, whatever it is, because there, the woman's in the car, she's on the phone, she's going to work, she's in the middle of a meeting, and she has a period. So the whole day, for 3-4 days, she's bleeding. The Argosha of that, we assume that there was a norm, there was an Argosha somewhere there. Now, once you say that, so then, wait a second, so how could we ever be making anything and say, well, she didn't have Argosha, so therefore there's no deraisa, it's only a kesem, it's only a stain, and therefore we're going to apply some kulas. You have to be consistent. If you're really concerned, the Argosha of the daita, so when do you say that, when do you not say that? So the answer most probably is, based on, well, how much blue was it? If a woman finds almost a sporadic stain, although she finds a stain, so to say, Duma, I wish you a night, like, they say, probably not. But she's getting a 5-day period to say that she didn't have any experience, nothing, there was zero, nothing, unlikely. It's based on this svar, if you like this svar or not, that the following, almost a theme appears in Rabbanim today, the difference in halacha between what we call a flow and versus stain. If a woman comes and says, listen, I have a flow of blood, I'm having a significant amount of blood for a couple of days, so we cannot close our eyes and say, well, we're very firm, we hold this is the Ragosha, I'm sorry, you didn't meet the criteria of Ragosha, and therefore you only need them with the Rabbanan, and therefore we have a lot of kulos for you. So we're not going to say that. Once you're talking about a significant flow of blood, so then we almost superimpose that principle that you might as well do my Amishav of the Daita, and of course, it doesn't affect the Raisa. If it's a very small, almost irrelevant stain, just out of the middle of nowhere, so then we'll say, I didn't say it's good, but it's still some, we have to deal with that, that's going to go through the next figure. But we're willing to hide behind the absence of our gosha and say, well, we probably only have a direct bottom on our hands. So that's one approach.
So, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it, what is it about the hargasha that works over here? And if she doesn't feel it, there's no hargasha.
Well, it could be that she's feeling it but not paying attention to it. So that may still be called feeling it in halacha. That may still be called hargasha. The Gemara has that phrase.
No, I understand.
The Gemara apparently is saying that just because it's not registering, that you stop the clock and say, oh, I just had hargasha. If it's kind of happening in the course of time,
does the hargasha indicate that something? Is it really the thing that happened that the Hargasha is indicating, or is the Hargasha itself?
Yeah, that's a little done. But I'll ask you a question. During the course of the day yesterday, did your stomach hurt at all? Ever? The whole day yesterday, did your stomach hurt? So I'll tell you a secret. If you had enough chillin, if you had enough kugula, probably at some point you had a little oomph of your stomach, I imagine. Most good Jewish people shout if there's something hurts. Does that register? Can you say at 2:06 yesterday my stomach was hurting me? Can I register the official complaint? No, it's because you're too busy. You're learning, you're doing that. So you get a little cramp or something. So the Irish have a daita. So the stomach. That's what the Gemara is referring to. Some kind of idea like that. So that's a luckily significant, albeit she can't really recall when it happened. So that's one whole approach.
So that would be that. That would mean that lav dafka was not that. Even just not a Gemara. It was the same phenomena. So to speak, in terms of
right. The only thing is, it could be. And again, this is conjecture, not one. It could be that there's Mana Gemara, the women were a little bit less occupied, we know that for a fact, and they were more in sync with what was really going on in terms of the body. Maybe it's possible. I mean, there is a reality, and again, I don't know enough from a medical vantage point, but there are certain descriptions that the Gemara is having. For example, the Gemara says in the Sefer Din, but we talk about this often, much down the line. The Gemara says that it was in the days of Chazal, it was very common for a woman to have a Vesas Kavur. I mean, she had a very regular cycle. She saw every 30 days, every 28 days, whatever it was fairly common. To such an extent, the Gemara says that the women who didn't have a Vesas Kavur were really the Yetzim and Eklal. There's Man Hazeh, that is absolutely not true. There's Man Hazeh, that's the exact opposite is true. What happened? Yeah. One suggestion that was given is that life was much simpler then. We all know the reality is that different changes and stresses and the changes in routine and cycle affect women's cycle. Everybody knows that. You put a woman on a flight around the world, so her period may get thrown off a little bit. You spend the whole week of eating Pesach food. Sometimes women, believe it or not, sometimes women's cycles are changed. If the young live a little bit, changes in routine do affect the woman's cycle. So it could be that life was much simpler, that there was no shmutin anyway, and they didn't go away on vacations, and nobody was traveling around the world. So things were much simpler, so the bodies were simpler, just their cycles, and these were in fact simpler. Again, that's a suggestion that is made, to track and check with the medical historians to figure out the details.
So according to the Rav Shelf, if a woman was on a cruise and she got her period, would it be durable in only?
No. What? Because she's paying attention to.
She's
relaxing. She's looking out the window. She's still on her cell phone.
So she should notice then if she had it.
I'd be rude. I'd say that. So yes, this is an idea, a suggestion that's made. One of the difficulties in Ruchas Nida in following the suggestion is a very practical difficulty. Namely, we're almost putting arbitrary numbers, artificial categories called, well, it was a lot of blood, so then probably there was a Russia. Whereas it was a very, very small amount of blood, and then we can assume there probably wasn't a Russia. Where exactly is that line drawn? There is a, I think Rabbi Willard once said to me this line, he said that there is a very fine line between a heavy stain and a light flow. He said, you know, what is the meaning of that? Give me a number. But the tablespoon, I don't have a number, but I need a shia. Woman comes and says, you know, I had a very, very light amount of blood. He said, I'm not sure, is this a kesem, or is this a hagoshimik, a re'iyaz dab? Is this a deraisa, or a derabonim? If it's a deraisa, there are no kulas. If it's a derabonim, we have certain leniencies. So where do you draw a line? At what point are we comfortable saying that it was such an insignificant amount of blood? Oh, there was probably no hagosha for you. At what point do we say, well, there was a lot of blood, so do ma'agisham lavadaita? It's a very, very hard question to answer. There is no scientific formula for that. Sometimes the questions that Rabbanim will ask are the follows. This is more of a similar siva. Sometimes if the woman says, well, I felt the need to put a pad on. There has to be something there. There's something significant about there. The woman says, I didn't need a pad. It's not, it's gone. I didn't even bother putting on a pad. So that's something, sometimes an indicator. The problem is it's not a perfect indicator, because sometimes the woman will say, well, listen, I didn't really have a lot, but I was afraid I would get a lot, so I put a pad on as preventative, not as a response to what was happening, but as Al-Shema Al-Asif for the future, and then the future never came, and she never really had all that tremendous amount of blood she was expecting. So now what? So she put on the pad. On the other hand, we know that she put on the pad for a different agenda, not because in response to any real amount of blood that she had. So it's not always an absolute answer.
So going on the premise of Mishtana Brios, and yeah, I mean,
certain degrees.
You read, and New York Times says the science page, Wednesdays, I think it was Tuesdays. So there have been articles about people who are very active in exercise and workout, and they can lose their periods. And so, if Mishtana Aprios, when you go back 1,000 years and say this was the paradigm for the halacha, and now you just use it because you can't create, you know, Mishnah and Bria, so you can't create a new paradigm?
Nothing's changed. Some of the analogy may quote unquote change, but the basic of Chaznita clearly hasn't changed. There's a din, a riyaz dam, is also there. There's a requirement of Ragosha. We just have to figure out how Ragosha
right,
plays out.
But for those times that a woman can't be descriptive because, you know, because of her lifestyle or because of exercise or whatever, so do you go back 1,000 years and use that paradigm to time-wise? I mean, how do you?
Well, that's what we're struggling with. We're trying to figure out when a woman comes in the year Tashanayfav and tells me that I had a little bit of blood. I want to know one thing: was there a halachic potential agashir or not? If there was, then I have to be machim. If there wasn't, then I can be makel. So I'm looking for ways, clues to try to figure out how to discern that. So if you go down that route of it's almost a question of volume. If it's a lot, then we have to almost be chayshesh to ma'agshav of the night. Then if it's a little, then we can be makel. So that's a very, very tricky thing because there is no written in stone what that volume is. So sometimes we'll phrase other questions to the woman, namely, well, the amount of blood that you saw, is this something that you would almost view as indicative of a light period? Is it a type of bleeding that you would associate with the period type of bleeding? Or is it such an insignificant amount that you wouldn't even call it that? So again, these questions are not halacha moshe b'sinai questions. These are ways that Rabbanim try to use to discern just whether we're talking about a real riyaz dam in the Torah, or we're dealing with only kesem with Rabbanim, because there are some very serious documents. This is all assuming that our approach is correct, that we're the way we're solving the dilemma of what happened to Nida Deraisa in the absence of a formal Hagosha, so we're basically falling back on the Gemara that's saying, well, there really isn't, nothing really changed. There is Hagosha, we just may have missed it.
There is no concept of Hagosha by Zav and Zilah.
Yeah, but Zav also is this one.
Even then, though, if the person has Zav, the practicality of them having this emission is regardless of the agasha.
No, the emission of Azov is blood. It's regular dam. It's nothing
right.
Different. It's just a different time of the month.
Right. So the woman has blood, even if like they don't have the agasha, it's almost like, unless you're saying Shmuel is just not true,
but
it has to
be that Shmuel is true.
Right. So it has to be that there must have been some Argosha.
So you're like an Argosha, but you're
also... Unless you say Shmuel's wrong.
But the Gemara does talk about Re'ias down below Argosha. Even we today have Re'ias down below Argosha. So the question is, where do you draw the line? So this is one Mahalach. But then there's a totally different Mahalach to this Sugya. We have to go back to the very, very beginning, back to the first of the Mahalach. And very often you could learn something about the halakha based on where the source comes from. Right? It's important to learn. So the Gemara spends a lot of time to figure out where exactly do you know this din from? What pasuk is it based on? Where is the Tosh Bafsaf and this din of the Tosh Bafsaf? Because the pasuk can indicate to you about the nature of what the halakha is all about. So go all the way back to the first of the Ramah Kermas. It's Amar Shmuel. Shmuel started this whole ball rolling. With Amar Shmuel, Batka Karka Oilim, Vyashvala Matsadama left, the Hoyrish and Emar, the Vesara Achatagish Vibsara. So the Gemara started asking questions. Wait a second, that word Vibsara, that magic word Vibsara, is needed to teach us other things. The Gemara starts listing off the other things that it's needed for. And one of the other things is this, is the end of the second line. The Akatim and Vayalei, we need it for something else. Vibsara, Vilob Vishvir, Vilob Vichaticha, that if a woman sees blood, but the blood is inside a shvir, it's a piece of a fetus comes out, and it's inside. So it's inside that piece of flesh, or a piece of flesh comes out, and there's blood inside it. So the Torah says, no, that doesn't matter. Sarv lo b'shvir, sarv lo b'chaticha. Even though there's blood that's leaving, that's not matamia. That's not a problem. So the Gemara says that's not enough for b'sara. How can you use b'sara to teach us two things? So the Gemara says, nah, no, we're not time to shvama. It's okay. Don't get stuck on the details of the drasha. You can learn out two things from one phrase. Question: since when can you do that? Since when time to shvama? Since when can you learn out two things from one phrase? So the answer is you could learn out two things from one phrase when they're basically the same, when the two sides of the same coin, the two manifestations of one halakhic principle. So what is the halakha principle? What is the connection between the requirement of hargosha and this din that if the woman sees the blood, b'shvir v'chatika, somehow she's muteris? What's the common denominator between those two? So the Rashba, I didn't put the Rashba around the curve, but the Rashba on that sugya appears to say that the answer to this riddle is as follows. It says, what kind of halakha is this that shalom hargosha is tahora? So what did this thing? As real, this blood, you almost say, like, from the scientific vantage point, this blood, that's for me, the Rashi says, Hagosha is the throwback to something which is a principle we find in many areas of halacha. We'll come to the Monday night shiur, and we spent a lot of time talking about this in terms of machos asuras and achilas. The Torah addresses normal scenarios. The Torah speaks to normal situations. Every once in a while, there's a yaitz v'nefa. Things happen not the way they're supposed to happen. So then, the halacha very often doesn't address that. We spoke about if a person takes a piece of chaz and they eat it like a normal person, they cook it up and they have a ham sandwich, that's eating chaz. A guy takes a raw piece of chaz and shoves it down, it's like, that's shalaki derech achila. Yisurim of the Torah, concepts of the Torah speak to a person who does it with Shabbos. If I write with my right hand, that's called Malach and Shabbos. If I write with my left hand, so that's not really called Malach and Shabbos, but in the Torah, that's not called Malach. The Torah addresses normal scenarios. Says the Rashba, when the Torah describes that a woman is experiencing dam, the Torah is describing a normal Re'ias dam. What is a normal Re'ias dam? Hagosha is usually associated with a Re'ias dam. When a woman has a monthly period, that's Derech Hagosha, says the Rashba. A woman has blood, it's bizarre, it's strange. That's what Dam Shlom Hagosha is. When Chazal say Hagosha is Neser, Hagosha is not the end all. Hagosha is not an absolute Chalikul Yavor. Hagosha is the Torah's way of, in a sense, measuring, that's the barometer, is this Derech Riyasa or is this not Derech Riyasa? That's why, if it's Shalom, if it's Beshvir of the Chaticha, That's Shalom Kederech Riyasa. These are all examples of the same halachic underlying principle, but in Shalom Kederech Riyasa, that's considered to be not needed deraisa. According to that Rashba, it's Gavaldik in Yisrael, according to that Rashba, how's that going to play out with Mahazet? It's Mahazet for whatever reason, whether the women are missing their Gosha, or maybe they're not even having their Gosha, whatever it, a woman gets a period. Every month, you can say, that is the most craziest, most absurd thing I've ever seen. That's out of whack. That's not normal. You're not normal. Well, that's normal. Kachi darak shalom. She gets a period every month. You're going to turn around with a straight face and say, "Well, shteik and shmuel, give you that gosha." And she didn't shmuel from day to tomorrow. If kachi derech riyasa, we could almost give a marshal, like going back to the Shabbos. The Gemara says that if a person cooks in the sun, take an egg and you put it into the sun, that's not bishul deraisa. Why is that not bishul deraisa? Rashi says, "What for sugar that cooks without a flame? A crazy nut cooks without a fire." So Rav Moshe said 50 years ago, what was sugar that cooks with microwaves? So Rav Moshe said, well, when microwaves first came out, everyone thought it was the craziest thing in the world. And Rav Moshe writes in Tshuva, well, I think that's probably going to become fairly common or fairly normal. Says Rav Moshe, when it reaches that point of being normal, guess what? The din d'oraisa is going to be that's called Bishlo Shabbos. The Moshe may not be perfect for other reasons, but that idea does exist. The halachas that are dependent upon normal versus abnormal literally change, point of time and place. Not that chalila, that the halacha is changing. The Torah doesn't change. The Torah is anistarla, the Nicholas Lavana, the oilam, the Redarazais. But the mitzias that the halacha is addressing changes. So if you have a situation where the mitzias bezman hazeh is a normal ri'ah is not necessarily accompanied by hagosha, that's still called ri'as nida deraisa. Hagosha is not an absolute requirement. Hagosha is a way to measure whether it's derech ri'asa or not. If that's the case, then we can now say as follows. We can say, well, if a woman, she's in the middle of her, tahara, all of a sudden, she went to the mikvah last week, and all of a sudden, she gets a spot or something. So how do we view that? Do we say, oh, that's a nida deraisa? No, it's not a nida deraisa, but she didn't feel anything, and it's a little bit out of the ordinary, she's a little bit taken aback, like, where is this coming from? What's this all about? So if that's the case, then that's not a nida deraisa. At worst, that's a derabana, and as a derabana, we have certain coolers, but we don't even get to what those coolers are. But she's getting it. So we'll ask her. She's coming in. She gets a 5-day period. We say to her, did you feel this as a gufa? No. Did you have this tachavacha? No. Did you have zivas tachavacha? No. So we're going to say, you're only tmeh with the rabbi. No, chas v'shalom. She's tmeh with the raisa. Why? Because she had derech v'yosa. That is derech v'yosa. That approach, 99% of the time, ends up in the same place as the first approach. Namely, a lot of blood is normal, a little sporadic blood is not so normal. So most of the time, those two different ideas, those two different ways that Poskim today have to solve this riddle, to solve this dilemma of Hilchos Nida, where is there ice and where is there butter, where do you draw the line? Is it normal versus abnormal, or is it a lot versus a little? Most of the time will overlap. Most of the time. Until fairly recently, when the overlap gets destroyed. We will talk about this many, many times, that they're not that Hilchos Nida has changed, but the reality has changed, and many, many women, for a variety of reasons, some justified, some unjustified, but again, another time, another place, are on different kinds of medications. So very often a woman is on different kinds of birth control pills for a variety of different reasons, not only because she doesn't want to get pregnant, but for other medical reasons, whatever, again, leaving out the details right now. And very often these pills will create all kind of unique types of situations in Hilchos Nida. So let's say one marshal. Marshall, the woman's on a pill that she gets a period once every 3 months. Okay? Do them a foursome, a common pill that women are on. Again, whether they should not be on a pill, we're not talking about that right now. She's on a pill, she gets a period every 3 months. So she thinks, well, I'm going to get a period every 3 months, this is great, for the next 3 months I have nothing to worry about. However, many women on these 3-month pills do get a little bit of something every couple of weeks. So the doctor, so she'll call the doctor, he said, I'm not going to get my period. So the doctor says, come on, that's great. It's so little, most women wouldn't even care about it. Well, it's not a firm woman wouldn't care about it. But now the firm woman says, wait a second, did I just get my period? It was a very, very small amount of blood. It lasted a couple of days. It was so insignificant. She may even say, I didn't have to bother putting on a pad. There was almost nothing there. But it was something. So now what? So if you take the second approach of the Rashba, that a period, but derech v'yosa, a monthly period, is by definition called nida deraisa. The hagosha is thrown out the window. One can argue that you just became a nida deraisa. But Rabbi, it was so small, it was just a kesem. So I would respond. A rab may respond as follows: true. If you are a woman who is getting a monthly period, and you know exactly when your periods are, when your derech v'yosa are, and every once in a while you're getting a little tiny, minuscule stain, and the week after you came back from the mikvah, I would say, well, that was the year there, right? That was the normal. And for you, that's the abnormal. But for you, this has become the norm. Every month, you're getting little triples, you're getting a little mash, a little something. Now, it may not be enough to say, so it may not be enough to get you into trouble according to the first mahalach, but according to this Rashba's mahalach, we open up a whole new world of Nida. We now have to re-ask new questions. A woman comes and says, well, I just got a little bit of stain, what's my status? So until 20 years ago, a little bit of stain, no problem, it's only Dervonic Summer and Yakubas and Gavaldi. Today, you have to ask the next question. Well, what are you up to exactly? What is your cycle? Oh, rather, I'm on a 3-month pill, and there's nothing to worry about. The doctor, I'm not going to get my period. That may not be as accurate, halachically, as the woman may think it is. So if you go down this route of the second halach, this could potentially have a significant impact on Hilchos Nida, potentially, especially this Bizman. So the bottom line is, the dilemma is still posed. Then we happened to be on the one hand, we're talking about Agasha, 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 and we went through the official three Agashas, and we came to the realization that we're not quite sure when there is Agasha, when it's not Agasha, but it's an impossibility to conclude, oh, therefore everything is Derabanan. So you have to have some kind of, almost like a new type of Ahadara as to where you draw the line. So are you drawing the line based on volume of blood? Are you drawing the line based on, is it a period or is it not a period? So there are different folks, Kim Adai and Mazel will use different criteria to answer this question. And based on this, you will get different answers about these types of scenarios. Are we really dealing with the din d'oraisa or not? Lefini is daiti, it's very hard to make all these shaylas. These are real potential shaylas of d'oraisa, potentially strict kares. Again, there are rabbanim chashuvim who will make it on some of these shaylas. I'm not so comfortable. I'm sorry that I have not to be so fast to make all these shaylas. But when there's either a concern of a significant amount of blood, or there's a concern that this is really truly derech riyasa, I think if we err on the side of caution in the shaylas. These are more chavad, these are not just some shaylas, these are potential deraisa shaylas, they're current shaylas. I think that before one applies all the kulzuk, we haven't even found any of the kulzuk, so we don't even know what these kulzuk are, although in a few days, a few shiurim to figure out what they are, we're not so fast that we just apply kulzuk some so quickly. A woman who has a set cycle and she's getting a regular period, and then once in a while, in the Belshim Akim, she gets a stain, or the bunch she gets a stain, those kinds of things, then we can be much more make on terms of summer. But to ignore and say, oh, she hasn't had a period in 6 months, because she's on birth control X, Y, and Z, she hasn't had a period in 6 months, and now she's starting to spot. But rabbi, it's very, very light. I'm not so convinced that that's not a shot of their eyes. So hopefully, as the shiur continue, we'll try to highlight what some of the very, very real left from the Levine between the eyes and their bodies.
Thank you.